Now the third outline of the extensive exposition on how to be in a heedful state. In order not to impair the vow, as well as in order it to be sort of, it to develop further. We finished the first two, and we are now in the section of exposition on how to be heedful towards our own defilements. Towards our own defilements or the irritating emotions. Which have to be discarded. As pointed out earlier, in the major sort of philosophical treatises like Abhidharma Kosha and Abhidharma Samujaya, while expounding the truth of origin of the suffering, these texts give first the general definition and then the divisions and the individual definitions and their action and so on. So seeing that, knowing the definition is essential for the practitioner, for the trainees, to comply himself or herself in the rules of the vows, unless one cannot identify one's own defilements or the irritating emotions, although one can undertake the practice with the faith, with a strong faith which is not associated with the wisdom of learning or wisdom of contemplation, wisdom gained through contemplation, the practices will not become sort of effective. And there will be no development within one's mind, development within one's mind. That is why with the faith, in addition to the inspiring faith towards the teacher, towards the guide, the Buddha, towards the companion, the Buddhasattvas, the other Buddhasattvas, towards the sort of doctrine, which also includes includes one's own spiritual mental states, one's own various spiritual mental states. Those with a discerning sort of mind, those who have a higher level of intellect, should put more exert in understanding, in realizing the Arwa. Realizing the different topics of the different sort of different treatises, then one will be able to associate the faith with the wisdom. And with these two, faith and wisdom, one will be, able to undertake practice more accurately, accordingly, as well as one will be able to make a quicker development, better development within oneself. So to define the definition, it is given in the major text. There are different interpretations by the different sort of scholars of different schools, not only the ancient Indian four Buddhist schools, but also within the Tibetan Buddhist school, different schools. There may be different approach or different interpretation, different interpretation. But Karamba says that general definition is one which thoroughly or intensely non-pacify, one which thoroughly or intensely non-pacify our own mental stream. This is the general definition of the defilements or the irritating emotion within us. So that is known to the actualized defilements, not to the seeds of the defilements when we sleep or when we are in the faithful state for some minutes, for 1 hour. That time all the irritating defilements are in our mental stream in the form of sleeping state, which is known as the seed of defilements, not the actual defilements. When we see something sort of attractive, tangible form, whether it's a building or clothing, or whether it's a very decorative, attractive flowers, or very beautifully arranged sort of hall or party hall or party table, or and any kind of sort of, then because of the object, and because of our own misspeculation, our own sort of misunderstanding, our own miscomprehension, our own miscomprehension, comprehending the tangible, attractive form as an inherently beautiful form. Comprehending the tangible beautiful form as an inherently beautiful form, that is the another cause of arising the defilements in an actualized state, second one. And then the third object, our own miscomprehension, and then the seed within our mental stream, seed of any of the defilements which arise in you. When they arise, the primary cause of the actualized defilements are those seeds within our mind. And the object and the miscomprehension, these are the secondary conditions. And Abhidhamma, the Vasubandhu, clearly sort of states in the fourth chapter, fifth chapter, In the fifth chapter, he clearly states that when there are these three sort of causes and conditions, then the actual the defilements arise in the actualized states within the sentient beings because of the completion of the causes and condition to arise them. So the seed, it doesn't refer when the Kadamba, as well as other scholars give the definition, general definition of the afflictions or defilements. They refer to the actualized state of defilements. So that is clear. But yet, Rabdu Mashivar Cheba. In Tibetan, we have this Rabdu. Mashivar Cheba means to cause the mind, something which caused the mind to be in a non-pacifying state. So our mental state, which cause our main mind to be in a non-pacifying state, that is known as a thoroughly non-pacifying state, is regarded or is known in the Buddhist approach as a defilement. So when the text says how to be heedful towards defilements, in order to do that properly, we need to identify the defilements within us. As what's defined, identify within us as defined it by the realized scholar. So there are three main sections to deal with this. The first, examining the defilements as something to be abandoned. We need to examine and discover that the defilements as something to be abandoned, something to be discarded, in accordance with the Paramitayana Sutra. Paramitayana. And then comprehend that they are not something to be adhered to, as sentient beings naturally do. As sentient beings ignorantly do. Something to be adhered to. Oh, sorry, that was a section. Sorry, huh? That was the subsection of the first. The second main section, then generating within oneself the aspiration of abandoning them. And the third section, then generating enthusiasm within oneself, knowing that they can be discarded or overcome. Because they are advantages. The defilements are in nature, in a relative nature, are advantages. What they are advantages, and they are not the real sort of relative nature of the clarity, our mind. Because of that, we need to generate enthusiasm within us, knowing that they can be separated from the mind. That can be sort of discarded or overcome. As to the first section, examining the defilements, examining inwardly and discovering the defilement as something to be abandoned, there are three sort of subsections, reflecting on their faults, reflecting on the faults of the defilements, disadvantages of the defilements, and reflecting on how they cause evil harm to oneself, unknowingly. Unknowingly means unknowingly by oneself, not unknowingly by the defilements. It was difficult for me to put in a proper grammatical structure. So this is understandable, huh? Reflecting on how the defilements cause harm or evil to us, to oneself, without one's own knowledge. Without one's own knowledge is better, huh? Without one's own sort of knowledge. And then the third, instructing not to adhere to them. To explain the first section, there are two sort of subsections, reflecting on their faults and comprehending that they are not something to be adhered to. And the first one, reflecting on their faults, there are three subsections. Reflecting on their faults, on the faults of the defilements, and reflecting on how the defilements cause great suffering to us. And then the third, instructing, because of these, the author instructs himself, as well as to us, to others, to other followers, not to adhere to them. So, the stanza 28, although enemies such as hatred and craving have neither any arms nor legs, inner enemy, the defilements are known in the approach of paramitayana as inner enemy, not paramitayana, including the hinayana. Our own defilements are known as the inner enemies. So although enemies such as hatred, craving, is a branch of sekpa, is a branch of desirous attachment, similar to branch sukra, similar, I think it's a synonym of the dechak, desirous attachment, have neither any arms nor legs like the ordinary or conventional, the enemies, ordinary enemies have. And are neither courageous nor wise. So the courageous, the people who are industrious, diligent, are known as a courageous. And people who have a sort of discerning mind are known as a wise people. So it means that the defilements, the defilements, there's no sort of, defilements do not associate when they arise within us. They do not associate with the enthusiasm. They do not associate with the they do not associate with the wisdom. They are not courageous. They are known as neither courageous nor wise. How have I, like a slave, been used by them? And furthermore, in this very section, even to those for a while they dwell within my mind, even to those which cause me harm, those defilements which cause me harm, while they dwell within my mind at their pleasure. Yet I patiently endure them without any anger. This is an inappropriate patient and subject to be scorned at. Means when the actualized defiled state arises within ourselves because of the three causes, we naturally, because of the strong habituation of the defilements, and not realizing them as a harmful entity to oneself, we never see them as enemy. We never feel kasura. We don't feel anger or envy towards them. So we just be patient. We just be patient ignorantly and follow whatever the defiled motivation or the defiled intention wishes. Not now, only in the afternoon. So that kind of being patient, he says, is a subject to be scorned at by the wise people. It's a wrong patient. We generate patience towards something which is not an appropriate object of generating patience. Now the cause of great suffering. Should even all the gods and demigods rise up against me as my enemies, they could not lead nor place me in the roaring fires of deepest hell. So this is understandable. Yet the mighty foe, these disturbing conceptions or these defilements, actualized states of defilements, in a moment can cast me amidst those flames, which, when met, will cause not even the ashes of the king of mountains to remain. For example, out of our ignorance, and we when we generate within our mind the wrong view within our mind, that there is no the natural law of karma, or there is no the next birth, rebirth, the earlier birth, and the rebirth. the concepts of not believing in the relatively existent natural law of deeds and result, as well as as well as what you say, as well as wrong view of not believing in the relatively sort of existence of the three paths, three sort of kinds of results, as well as not believing in the Four Noble Truths, and so on. So such sort of, in a moment, means such sort of generation of wrong view, such generation of wrong view can cast among the what you call defilements, a kind of ignorance. Wrong view is a kind of ignorance. Such ignorance, the mental action, speculating of not believing in the relatively existence of the past and next life, relatively existence of the natural law of karma and result, relatively existence of the Four Noble Truths and the Triple Gems and the sort of the higher spiritual sort of paths and results. They can cast me amidst those flames, which when met, like that. In another word, by the anger, a moment of very strong and intensive anger, and in a moment, and then, for instance, killing something. That moment means not a what's a. We talk about the two kinds of momentary yesterday. So this should refer to the momentary of the completion of an action. So in a moment, momentary of the completion of action, can cast me amidst those flames, and so on. Those flames, which cause not even the ashes of the king of mountains to remain, such unbelievable, inconceivable heat the flames has, that it burns even the mountain. It could burn even the mountains without the remains of ashes. So this shows the greatness of the harm they can sort of they can generate, the defilements can generate. It's not a minor harm or something sort of harm or hardship or suffering we face within this life. They can sort of produce such a inconceivable harm, sort of such an inconceivable harm. So reflecting on that part, we need to be heedful towards, says that we need to be heedful towards our own defilements. Now the harm they produce is a long time, for a long period. Although other enemies are incapable of remaining for such a length of time. For instance, our ordinary enemy, like China, between China and Tibet, between Iraq and United States and its allies, or in a personal, within a personal enemy, or a social enemy of society, or bigger society, or country, or whatever, states, or country, or whatever. All other enemies are incapable of remaining for such a length of time. They may remain as an enemy for 50 years, 100 years, not more. 200 years, maybe 300 years, like between India and early British, when British. So still many Indians regard the British as their enemy. So that enemy do not last longer, for eons they do not last, incapable of remaining for such a length of time. as can my disturbing conceptions or my own afflictions. The enduring enemy has neither beginning nor sort of end. From the beginningless time, they have been our enemy. They have been harming to us. They have been producing sort of harms and hardship, sufferings to ourselves from the beginningless time. Unless we sort of discard or eradicate, uproot them from our mental stream, when we have the ability now, we have the best chance to do it, best chance. Being born as a human, we have the best opportunity, best chance to at least sort of subdue, if cannot sort of uproot in this life, at least can subdue many of them. Minimize the strength. At least we can minimize the strength of many of our afflictions. Through undertaking the practices diligently, with the understanding, with the proper understanding. Then there can be an end in the future. Otherwise, if we still be patient with them and behave as they control us, as they wishes, then there will be no end. Now instructing not to adhere to them because of seeing the faults of them, seeing the two kinds of faults, causing so much sort of harm, or without our knowledge they cause so much harm to ourselves, without our knowledge they cause too much harm from the beginningless time, too much harm to us, and they produce great sort of suffering, this as well as in the next life. If we follow as they wish, then they will sort of propel us in the three kinds of lower realms, any of the three kinds of lower realms, and to, from that they produce great suffering. So seeing these or knowing these, we are instructed, recommended to be very heedful towards them. Now the second, keep the comprehending, thus, we are to comprehend that they are not something to be adhered to. If I agreeably honor and entrust myself to the others, means other enemies, like ordinary enemies, if I harmoniously sort of honor or entrust myself to other enemies, they bring me benefit and happiness. That is understandable. Yeah? If you solve sort of some problem between us and the other person. Whom oneself regard as an enemy. Solve the problem amicably. That person can become a good friend of yours. If we generate sort of harmoniously, sort of generate honor, if we honor him, if we respect his ideas, his wishes, if we respect and his ideas, his wishes, not just forcing our own ideas and our own wishes and respecting his sort of wishes and then solve the problem between us amicably. Then he becomes friend and bring us benefit and happiness. But if I entrust myself to this disturbing conception or the defilements, one's own defilements, not in the future. There's no in the Tibetan chishin. Chishin means again. Chishin in Tibetan. If I entrust myself to these emotions, irritating emotion, they cause in a simple present tense is better. They again cause or bring misery and harm to oneself. So they are not something to be adhered to. If you adhere to them, then they definitely will cause further more harm. And mixing up, huh? Again and again, messing up the outlines. Because there was no space there, and I edited many times. I edited in accordance with my understanding of the Tibetan outlines. I edited several times, and then there was no enough space, and it becomes so. While in the secular existence, how can I be joyful and afraid if in my heart I readily prepare a place? This is not so nice version. In the another, what you call the English translation did by Lama Kasang Gyaltsen, it's a better. If this incessant enemy of long duration, 34. If this incessant enemy of long duration, as previously pointed out, comma, the sole cause of greatly increasing miseries, firmly resides or abide in the center of my heart, how could I be happy in samsara without fear? That is better version. Huh? While we evolve, why we evolve or revolve in the samsara? If this long lasting defilements, the sole cause of all our own, sole cause of the greatly increasing miseries, firmly resides or abide within my heart, then there's no sort of way. There's no way to be in a happy state. There's no way to be in a happy state without a fear, because it may spring up in any time, and then again, what's it, destroy our peaceful mental state, or destroy our blissful state, or so on. So how could I be happy in samsara, unhappy in samsara without fears? And also the 35th, the same sort of section, dealing with the same section. And how shall I ever have happiness if in a net of attachment within my mind there dwell the gardens of prison of cycle existence? It's not very good. It's not understandable. I may have changed a little bit the order, as well as add some my own the words. How can I be happy if these guardians of the prison of samsara, So defilements are known as the guardians of the prison, because they guard us not to be freed. They guard us not to get freedom from the samsara. They are the sort of bondage which bind us in the cyclic existence. That is why our own defilements are known as guardians of the prison, guardians of the prison of samsara. If these guardians of the prison of samsara and these executioners and butchers in hell realm, etc., because when we take rebirth in the hell realm, or in the hungry ghost, or the hungry ghost realm, or take rebirth as an animal realm, we have a different sort of appearances. We have a different appearances by the karmic force and the force of the afflictions. That is why when the hell beings see the executors or the butchers who chop them, those executors and butchers are nature of their appearances of their sort of karmic forces and their sort of defilements, which are nature of their mind. That is why it says, if these executors and butchers in hell realm dwell in the web, means executors and butchers refer to the defilements, not to other sort of kind of person. These executors and butchers in hell realm, etc., dwell in the web of my mental attachment. There will be no sort of, we cannot be in a long-lasting sort of peaceful or long-lasting and in happy state, unless they are sort of driven, unless these adventitious defilements are driven away from the house of our mind. Now the second main section, generating the aspiration to abandon them. Generating the aspiration to abandon them through knowing the nature, through knowing their action, through knowing the nature of defilements, through knowing their nature, their activities, their harmful actions, we are recommended to generate aspiration or wish to discard them. This also has three subsection. Putting on the armor of abandoning the defilements. Putting on the armor means generate or instilling the sort of strong wish, jinan wish. When we have a jinan wish, that becomes the sort of like armor to fight, to battle with the inner enemy. That very firm sort of aspiration or wish becomes like armor to protect us from the defeat of the enemies, the inner enemies. So putting on the armor of abandoning the defilement means instilling a very genuine and strong wish to fight against them or to discuss them, to battle with them innerly, to battle with them. Not being discouraged while facing this hardship. Since we do not have that habituation, some might have from the previous lifetime. In general, it is talking about since we do not, I talk in general, since we do not have a strong habituation in this kind of asura, in this kind of battling, in this kind of practice, it is a branch of practice, in this it in, do not have strong habituation in this kind of practice, we may be sort of discouraged because of the hardships while practicing, while battling, while abandoning or discarding them, and then we may feel sort of discouraged. We may feel discouraged and give up our practice. There is a danger. So in order not to fall in that, the author would say, recommend us not to discourage while facing the hardships. In battling with these enemies, in battling hardship, battling with these enemies. This is one. The first one, putting on the armor or instilling a genuine and strong wish to battle with them, to discard them. The 36th one. I think the 36th one shows that. Therefore, as long as this enemy is not slain with certainty, not before my very eyes, we don't have that in Tibetan, it says, with certainty, is not slain with certainty, I shall never give up exerting myself towards the end, means exerting myself in the practice. The very first step of sort of practice is to be heedful in, very heedful, to be in a heedful state. So being in a heedful state, and then as shown later, how to battle with the inner enemies or the defilements, I should not never give up my effort towards that end until I sort of slain or until I defeat. With certainty, the enemies, until I overcome, in other words. Having become angry at someone who caused only slight and short-lived harm, self-important people or arrogant people will not sleep until their enemy is overcome. This is from example. In our worldly, because well, a human world, in our human world, if some sort of arrogant people or self-imposed sort of arrogant or self-imposed imposed oneself as a imposing oneself as a very important person with an arrogant, having become angry at someone who caused not only slight and short-lived harm, if someone do not sort of sleep until he wins the battle with the enemy. If this is the case, for just short-lived harm, then it is not necessary to mention not to give up the exertion in defeating the inner enemy, which would cause a big sort of the opposite to the slight, big opposite to the short-lived harm, and the long-lasting harm. Nature. Now, not being courage while battling with the inner enemy, we will face many difficulties, especially the beginners, very beginners, will face difficulties, very hardships. So this is the method to to overcome the stress or the overcome the hardship, mental hardship, or any kind of other sort of difficulties while complying oneself. Complying oneself in the practices, complying oneself in the practices or rules or regulation of the Bodhisattva's vow. So there are three ways of overcoming the discouragement. Three ways of overcoming the discouragement when someone faces hardship in sort of undertaking the practices. First one, the first one to reflect on the faults of the object to be abandoned. First one to reflect again and again the disadvantages or the faults of the defilements. And the second one, to reflect again and again on the advantages of their antidotes. So from these, the third one, reflecting again and again on one's own sort of commitment, one's own promise. From these three means, then one will be able to become more courageous to battle with the defilements. One will be able to, overcome the discouragement in undertaking the practices in order to subdue or in order to eradicate the inner enemies. The first one, to reflect, Rava, putting armor, we finished that. Second section has three subsections. The reflecting on the faults of the objects to be abandoned or faults of the defilements. The 37 and 38 verses shows that. And if while engaged in a violent battle, the vigorous desire to conquer those enemies, those whole disturbing conception will naturally bring them suffering and death. This is 37. Yeah, I have another from the Lama Kasang's version. If people enter the battlefield emphatically wishing to destroy those who pitifully suffer and will naturally die, even disregarding the pain of being pierced by weapons like arrows and spears, and will not retreat until they accomplish their goals, like the soldiers battling with the enemies, until they accomplish their goal. Their goal is to win the battle. They win the battle to win the battle until they endure all their hardship, all the pains they have, all the pains they endure, all the hardship, while battling with the enemies who will naturally die, who suffer themselves, and. And the remaining, that is the example given. If this is the case, while battling with the ordinary enemy, the enemy which dies naturally, no need to be sort of killed actually. They die naturally, they suffer themselves without the opposite. If that's, then What need to mention that I should not be faint-hearted and slothful at any of these hundred of causes of suffering? So the first line is similar with the other version. The second to fourth line are taken from that. At any of these hundreds of causes of suffering, from exerting myself to definitely overcome this certain natural enemy, which are always the causes of all type of suffering. So, in another word, at any of these hundred of causes of suffering means while while sort of applying oneself in the practices and face many, many sort of hardship, mental hardship or physical sort of pain, or while sitting as a cross-legged, sitting in a cross-legged for 1 hour, you have a very strong pain in your leg in the beginning. When you train yourself to sit in a cross-legged, for example, then there's a strong, very, very severe pain in the joints of the legs. So at any of these hundreds causes of suffering, means, for instance, that's one. And for instance, when we think of the society or other sort of partner or other co-workers, or when we sort of think of his welfare, his sort of comfort, and then sort of provide some kind of help, and then when someone reacts sort of harshly, then you feel sort of mental stress, a mental depression. And such as this, while sort of traversing the path, or while undertaking the practices, which is mainly to overcome the defilements, undertaking the different practices, which are mainly to overcome the defilements, when we face such difficulties, the author would say, instruct us not to feel discouraged, and give up the practices. Instead of feeling discouraged and giving up the practices, he instruct us to sort of battle, endure these difficulties, and continue to battle with our own inner enemies. From exerting malsa to definitely mandirava. Knowing that defilements are the very root, or the defilements are the very sort of the primary causes of all the miseries, all the mental suffering, all the physical suffering in this life as well as in the coming life. That one. And also the 38th is also the part of that section. Then what need to mention? We finished that, 38. Okay. 39. Now the advantages, reflecting on, in order not to be discouraged by the hardships or by the difficulties, while we undertake the practice, while we battle with the inner enemy, we need to sort of it instruct us to reflect on again and again, reflect sort of often or occasionally, again and again, reflect on the advantages or the benefits of the antidotes. So the 39th and 40th two section shows that. So instead of feeling encouraged, instead of feeling sort of discouraged, one should consider that even a meaningless scars inflicted by enemies are worn upon the body like ornaments, like the kambas of Tibet, and there are scars on the head or here, left from the fights. They show these scars as an ornament of their bravery, as an ornament of their bravery. It's just like that. Worn upon the body like ornaments, Then why is suffering or hardship? Why is suffering or hardship a cause of harm to me? While genuinely what's exerting or impeccably striving to fulfill the great purpose, the purpose of overcoming the afflictions in order to sort of achieve the main objective of bodhicitta, that is the complete Buddhahood. And the 40th also, if fishermen, hunters and farmers, thinking merely of their own livelihood, just short-living sort of benefits, endure the suffering of heat and cold, why am I not patient for the sake of all world's joy? Through this way, taking the example, taking the farmers and all the other sort of workers who work so hard. I think in Europe you have a better example than in Asia, India, and in our community. There are less hardworking people in our community. In Europe you have many hardworking people who spend their days, nights, weeks putting effort to have the livelihood, better livelihood. Short-lived, Dhinathirva. So if it is the case to these, just for a short-lived benefit, then why shouldn't I? Inwardly we should think, why mustn't I endure all the hardships? Why mustn't I endure all the hardships? Sufferings of heat and cold, suffering of being sort of karva, heat from the suffering of heat. Nowadays people cannot endure, huh? If there's a heat, hot, they feel, oh, then they go away. If the teaching is too long and you have a pain there, they stand up and go away. They don't endure that suffering to receive the instruction, to receive the teaching. So taking those as example, and then one should not be, in order not to fall in a discouragement, instead of falling in the discouragement, taking these as an example, and one should inwardly anikarira. Through examining the benefits of the practices or antidotes, one should be heedful again. And then the third, through being sort of not to fall in the discouraged state, while facing the hardships, the third section shows us how not to fall in the discouraged state through reflecting on one's own sort of commitment, one's own vow taken earlier. When I promised to liberate all beings while taking the Bodhisattva's vow through the rituals, when I promised to liberate all beings who dwell in the 10 directions as far as the end of space from their disturbing conception, I myself was not yet freed from mine. In another word, the meaning is that I did promise to free the other beings from the suffering states of the samsara. I did promise not one or two or some, but all sentient beings from the sufferings of the cyclic existence. If when myself was not yet and do not and yet sort of do not put into practices or attempt to subdue and overcome the afflictions, then just making promising to free the other sentient beings is a dirva. It's a wonder, or what you say. It's like a world of people with the imbalanced mental state. It's like a promise made by the imbalanced people with the imbalanced mental state. So in order to be successful, accomplish that promise, one need to be very heedful to one's own commitment. There are two kinds of commitments: the restraining from the negative activities. So battling with the defilements include in that precepts, refraining from the negative activities. See, if one do not sort of battle or attempt or try to subdue or overcome the defilements, then that promise would become just a mere word. It's saying like that. From that way, one should not feel sort of discouraged when we face hardship. Okay, I'll stop there. The two parts, the remaining part of that. Thus unaware of even my own capacity, was it not someone crazy to have spoken like that, thinking to promise made in the mind to free other beings from the sentient beings. So in order to free other beings, one has to get freedom first from the defilements, and then one will be able to free other beings after that. Yeah, it's up to that. Sunam de tamje sepa ye to ne ne be da na pamje de je ga na je balon to ba ye se be to le to wa to wa ra jo jam be pa wa je da ra ke ba Quando san bote yon ti shen de te da gundi je so da la ye wa de do atan je rab do e ngu e jan jo jan ve jo ba cho jo ke ro ja zi yo so kong e ne ka re tu tere den ba sa zi sa ja ba e den ba je jiro